What is hope? Welcome back to Thinking It Through here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Today, Max Jagannathan continues with the Big Word series, and Max is the director of Thinking Faith. He is also an international speaker and is currently undertaking a PhD in law. Stay tuned as Max brings us the next big word in the Big Word series, hope.
Hello and welcome to another episode in our Big Word series. My name is Max and I'm coming to you from Thinking Faith. And today I want to talk to you about the word hope. What is hope? It's something that everyone feels and we all hope for different things, but do we ever take time to just take a step back and think about what it actually is? The great Indian poet and Nobel laureate Rabindranath Tagore famously wrote that faith is the bird that sings while the dawn is still dark. Faith is the bird that sings while the dawn is still dark. Now, that's obviously a line about faith. But the thing that drives the bird to sing is hope. Faith is a statement of belief in something. But hope is almost the petrol, the existential fuel that drives faith. The hope for something better. We all know what that means, especially given the year and the season that we are now in. It might be because of the pandemic. It might be because of other things that you're struggling with in relationships, with your job, with employment, with finances. It might be existential struggles of loneliness, of anxiety. It might be issues with faith, with people around you. Whatever it might be, we are all always hoping for something better. It's inextricable from the human heart, this idea of hope. The best definition of hope, the most compelling at least, that I have ever heard, is that hope is confident expectation in something better coming. Confident expectation in the onset of something better. I think that all makes sense for all of us. And it actually fits perfectly with the psychological science and the psychiatric science. One of the great theorists there, Erik Erikson, he came up with an 8 or a 9 stage theory to explain and understand human psychosocial development. And according to Erikson, the very first stage in the entire process is hope. And it happens in the first 24 months of a baby's life, where the baby learns to hope. Now, it's fascinating that this is number one, and if something goes wrong with an infant's capacity to hope, with the newborn's capacity to learn how to hope, then that necessarily affects the other stages of psychosocial development and can have hugely damaging impacts on their futures, emotionally and psychologically. But how does it actually work in the first 24 months? Well, it's actually based on need. According to Erikson's theory, the reason that hope comes first is because when babies are first born, our first instincts are a combination of fear and need. Hence all of the crying and the kicking and the screaming. We need food. We need warmth. We need shelter. We need security. In fact, most of the time a baby cries, it's crying out for something. Not just crying for the sake of it. There's usually some object of need or object of want. And so that is why a baby's parents and its caregivers are so important, particularly in those early years from a psychosocial context. Obviously from a material and moral context too, but according to Erikson's theory, it's the degree to which parents provide for the needs of that baby that the baby will then grow the capacity to hope. And so when we look underneath the word hope, we see that it is really a question of trust. And that connection between hope and trust we rarely make in the world today. It's not made in our movies, it's not made in our songs, it's not made in our literature, it's certainly not made in our social media and in our news and current affairs. The inextricable link between hope and trust. For hope to be possible, yes, we are wanting something better. But that is only possible if the objects of our hope, the things we put our hopes in, the people, the ideals that we put our hopes in, are trustworthy. Hopeworthiness is linked to trustworthiness. There's no point just hoping for something better in the abstract unless the objects of our hope are matched by the subjects of our trust that prove trustworthy to be able to deliver on that hope. Otherwise, we're just hoping. in an empty kind of way. Hope without trust and hope without something or someone trustworthy to deliver on our hopes is completely empty and it's wasted. Now, it's interesting. When we look in the Bible and we look at the Christian message, there's a guy by the name of Zechariah, and just a few weeks before Jesus is born, Zechariah is about to have a son, right? His wife is about to give birth to a baby. And he says this. It's a wonderful declaration of hope. But interestingly, you see the pillar of trust and the foundation of trust that underpins this hope. That's the first thing. The second thing we see from what Zechariah says, which I'm about to read out to you, is that Zechariah's hope and trust looks in two directions. It looks backwards and it looks forwards. It's not just forward looking. We can often think in the world today that hope is simply forward looking. But when we think about hope and trust together, we see that it can be both backward looking and forward looking. Zechariah says this, and we find this in the Gospel of Luke at the end of the first chapter. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the land of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." 7 verses there, Zechariah is talking about the past, about the trustworthiness of God, about the goodness of God, about the holiness of God, about the things that God has done, the things that make him trustworthy and hope worthy. And then he goes on looking forward. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." He's talking about Jesus. He's looking back at everything that God has done and the trustworthiness that pours out of God's track record. And then he's pointing forward to what God is going to do, to something better, to the person of Jesus, to what God is going to bring about through something that is going to happen. And he talks about Jesus with these beautiful metaphors. The rising sun will come to us from heaven. Now, interestingly, the way that Luke writes that, he's writing about the rising sun, S-U-N. He's talking about a sunrise. He's saying this coming, this event that is going to happen, which begins with the birth of Jesus just a few weeks after Zechariah states this, it's S-U-N. It's a sunrise. And so he was looking forward. The beautiful and wonderful thing for you and I today, friend, is that we don't have to look forward for something on which to base our hope, because we can look back at the coming of the risen sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ himself, who came into the world for you and me. And he now forms part of the track record on which we can declare that this God is hope-worthy. We can declare that this God is trustworthy. So Zechariah was looking backwards and forwards at the trustworthiness of the track record and the hopeful expectation, the confident expectation of what was going to happen. We can do that too. But when we look back, we see even more wonderful things that Zechariah hadn't seen yet. We see that God stepped into the world as a person. We see that God came into the world, Jesus Christ, took all of the brokenness and sin and struggling and suffering onto himself, went to a cross and died in our place. And then, defeating all evil, all suffering, all guilt and all shame, rose from the dead, affirming who he was. And now this very same Jesus reaches out to you and me today and offers us up close and personal relationship with him. That's not something we have to look forward to. We can take hold of that right now. So as you might be struggling with things in your life today and hoping for something better, my challenge and encouragement to you is don't just hope for something better in the abstract. We need to do something about it. When we hope for something better, we need to do something about it. And there is a degree to which in the world today, because of the brokenness of ourselves and the brokenness of the world out there is a degree to which we don't have the power. And we just don't have the control, and we simply don't have what it takes to bring about the ultimate hopes that we have for ourselves and for our families. And God knows this. He knows that we could never do it in our own strength. We could never bring about what we hope for. Joy and peace and rest and meaning and fulfillment and purpose and happiness and satisfaction and contentment and love and truth and all of the beautiful things that the human heart longs for. God knows that we are simply incapable of bringing them about in our own strength. The great Pulitzer Prize winning author Marilynne Robinson famously writes in her novel Gilead that there are two things we can be certain of: my insufficiency to the world and the world's insufficiency to me. And what she's saying there is exactly what the Christian message correctly diagnoses, that it doesn't matter how hard I work or how hard I hope, there's always something not quite right about me. And at the same time, it doesn't matter how hard I try or how hard I apply myself, there's always something not quite right about the world out there around me. The world is broken and we are broken. And because of that, we know that when we hope, we need to put our hope in something outside of this world. We need to put our hope in something that transcends the brokenness of our world and of ourselves. Hope is the confident expectation of something better. And when we try and do it in our own strength, we don't so much find the answers, we just find more and more questions. There is a $13 billion a year industry around improving ourselves, the self-help, self-improvement industry. Now, I'm not saying that's all a waste of time. Perfectly productive and perfectly useful in its place. But the danger is that we can think that by improving and optimizing ourselves, we will have what it takes to fulfill our own hopes. If we do that, friends, if we try and hope for something better and try and work towards it in our own strength alone, one of two things will happen. One thing is that we might fail, which is more likely than not. Given the uncertainty of the world, given the brokenness of who we are and the world around us, given the volatility and the instability out there, we will fail, and then we will know that we are not enough. The other possibility is that we might succeed, but our success will not provide the level of satisfaction, the joy, the rest, the peace, the contentment. It won't provide us with the fulfillment that we thought it would, and then we will know that we are not enough. One way or another, if we hope in things of this world, including ourselves, or our jobs, or our families, or our bank accounts, or our investment portfolios, or our beauty, or our attractiveness, or our reputation, or our Facebook friends, or our Instagram likes, or our retweets, if we put our hope in anything inside this world, sooner or later, we will fail those ideals and objects of hope, or those ideals and objects of hope will fail us. Because we are broken and the world is broken. Because of that, our hope has to go somewhere transcendent. We have to find something that is hope-worthy and trustworthy to fulfill our existential needs that is outside of this world, because nothing in this world is qualified. We are more educationally, financially, and academically and technologically advanced collectively as a human race than we have ever been in human history. And yet all of the deep existential metrics are not going anywhere. Divorce rates, domestic violence, anxiety, loneliness, poverty, inequality, mental ill health, all of these things are at all-time highs in real and relative terms. What does that tell us? It tells us that we have been putting our hope in the wrong things. It tells us that we have misunderstood the inextricable connection between hope and trust. It shows us that we have ignored this Christian truth that the Bible has been telling us for more than 2,000 years, that for something to be worthy of our hope, it has to be worthy of our trust. And for something to be worthy of our trust, ultimately, if it is going to provide us with the deepest existential needs of the human heart, it has to come from outside of this world. That's exactly what God offers you and I today in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Someone that is worthy of our trust and someone that offers us hope. God says in his Bible, "There will come a time where I will wipe away every tear, and I will make it as though the suffering and the darkness and the brokenness of this world never was." All of the good things, as Tolkien paraphrases in Lord of the Rings, all of the good things will be there and all of the bad things will become untrue. But that only happens when we accept Jesus' offer of relationship and we put our ultimate hope in him, the perfect object of hope and the perfect subject of trust. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you.
That was Max Jagannathan sharing about the big word, hope, and please don't miss the next and final big word in the Big Word series, and that is love. Tomorrow, same time, same place, only on Good News Community Radio, you can check out the Thinking Faith website at thinkingfaith.asia. And as always, please send us any feedback to our email, thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. Till next time.